Oh, there's no question that the very fact that young women have the same opportunity in college, that they have a chance to play sports because of Title IX, that they have the right to terminate a pregnancy that doesn't make sense in their life or for the life of a child, the fact that we have equal opportunity in the workplace, all those things would never have happened if those of us who were participants of the women's movement had not been there and fought so hard.
Turning outrage into outcomes. This is the Texas Blue Action Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Texas Blue Action Podcast. I am Lana Hansen, and I'm feeling a little saucy this afternoon. I don't know if it's that the weather in Austin, Texas today is absolute perfection, or if it's that it's the holidays and my kids are finally fully vaxxed, or if it's because I am here with one of my favorite activists, Becky Bullard, who seems to make everything so positive and fun, even when we're facing such madness here in Texas. And so I couldn't be more excited to have you here. Becky, thank you for joining.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks, Lana. It's so great to see you and to be here.
Well, fantastic. So let's start out with, I would love to hear what inspired you to get into activism. You've dabbled in so many things and you seem to be everywhere all the time. Talk to me about what brought you here.
Yeah, I think you, like most of us, the 2016 election was my origin story. And I was really mad after Trump was elected. But the person I was most mad at was myself, because I had done literally zero things other than vote to create the outcome that I was wishing for. So I decided that I needed to figure out how to get involved so that I never had that feeling again of I wish I had done more. So I spent, you know, a couple years just learning as much as I could, showing up, asking really basic questions. And then eventually I figured there were probably other people who were kind of in that same boat of wanting to do something, not knowing where to start, feeling really intimidated. And luckily I have a background in advertising. That's what I'd been doing most of my career. So I thought, hey, if I can, you know, translate complicated technical jargon into some words and images that emotionally connect to people and make them want to buy computers, maybe I can do the same thing for democracy and political engagement.
I love that. And I think you're right. You know, 2016 is what brought so many people to the table. And so I always say that if there was a silver lining in what happened there, it's that it brought a lot of people that weren't otherwise engaged, like yourself, myself, and thousands of others. I mean, I think that's the origin story of so many people that you and I know and so many people around the United States. So I guess that's a really good thing to come of it. And, you know, I also love that so many people like yourself chose to take the skills that they already have and turn it into something that they also felt passionate about. You know, not just work, but also accomplishing something along the way. And, you know, sort of at the forefront of that, and I might be a little biased, is I feel that we're seeing a lot of female leadership in that area, right? We're seeing a lot of women that are showing up and running or creating organizations that, you know, are doing incredible work. And one of the things that you have done so well is, you know, put the creative spin on it. Like you said, help people understand what's going on in this complex political world that is Texas, because it is intentionally complicated.
Yes.
Right? They do this to try to discourage us from getting involved. So the work that you're doing is so valuable. And so tell me about your new project, DemocraSexy, because I just love the idea that's behind it, and I want to hear more. So I'm going to let you tell me about what it is.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, so DemocraSexy is basically just trying to make democracy more sexy. and I like to explain it like this. Several years ago, I ran my first marathon. It was the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon. And if you have ever run a marathon, you know there comes a point where you're like, I don't know if I can keep going. My feet are about to fall off. My lungs are burning. But the great thing about a rock and roll marathon is every few miles there's a, you know, Bon Jovi cover band. And you're like, get a little dance in your pants and you're like, okay, I can keep going. Or, you know, somebody comes alongside you and it's like, okay, we're going to walk until that tree and then we're going to keep running again. And it just was, you know, a fun and creative way to make something that could be very taxing and draining better. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do for civic engagement. I think that organizing for social and political change is a marathon, and I want to make it a rock and roll marathon. So,
well, first of all, who knew that rock and roll marathons existed? Because what kind of bubble have I been in that I didn't even know that was a thing? Because that might actually get me out there to try to run one, because that sounds like a lot of fun. And to your point, what we're doing here is definitely a marathon. We need to remember to not get frustrated when things don't go our way every time. All change is incremental. And so we do have to gear up for that marathon and not that sprint. So tell me about some of the things that, you know, you're planning or have been working on to keep people having a good time while we do this.
Yeah. So there's two pieces of what I'm doing with Democracy. I'm doing event curation and content creation. And I just started, my launch event was right before Halloween. It was called Texorcism. We're exorcising the demons from the Texas Capitol. And it was centered around abortion rights. I had a drag queen come do like a spooky little dance. Everybody came dressed as witches. It was in an old church that had been converted into a co-working space and women's art gallery. I had a tarot reader do a kind of tarot reading and blessing for us. And then I moderated a panel discussion about what the hell's going on with our abortion rights with Diana Limon Mercado from Planned Parenthood Texas Votes, Marsha Jones from the AFIA Center up in Dallas, and of course, Wendy Davis, of course, former state senator and founder of Deeds Not Words. And also Gina Chavez performed. She was amazing.
Who we love. Big fans. Well, of everybody you listed, big fans. And I was so sad to miss that event, but I heard so much afterwards about how wonderful it was and how everybody enjoyed it. And I think you're really onto something there, you know, that especially some of us that have now been kind of active in this fight for the past handful of years, we really need those things to uplift our spirits, keep us involved, keep us excited. And so do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, so I have a couple of things coming up, but they're not quite yet on my website. So you'll have to sign up if you want to get emails when I publish details of these events. You can go to democracysexy.com. There's a little pop-up that pops up and you can just put in your email address and you'll make sure to get any updates on these things. But the next thing I have coming up is going to be February 2nd, 2022. So 2-2-22, easy to remember. And that is going to be a book club that I'm doing on this book called Controlling Women, What We Must Do Now to Save Our Reproductive Freedom.
Oh my gosh, I have it, not sitting here, but I literally ordered it at your suggestion and started reading it, and it's already so good, which it helps, like, talk to me about, you met the author, right? Last weekend at the TED Talks Women's Trip, which was
TED Women is, I think this is the first time, you know, since pandemic that they've done it in person again. So it was really lovely to be there and, you know, just sit and absorb a million TED Talks in real time. My brain is saturated. I had to take like a 3-day nap after that. It was so much. But I think the one that stuck with me more than anything was Catherine Colbert's talk. She is one of the authors of this book, Controlling Women. And she said that they wrote and published that book in like 6 months because they saw what was coming down the road at the Supreme Court when it comes to abortion. So she got up on the TED stage and she said, you know, lots of people are asking me, because she had argued in Roe v. Wade. And she also in, I think it's 1992, Casey versus Planned Parenthood ended up kind of saving Roe v. Wade. It was under threat and she was one of the attorneys that helped save it at that time. And based on her experience, you know, people are always asking her what's going to happen at the Supreme Court. And she said without hesitation, without pulling any punches, she said, Roe v. Wade will be done within the year. Gone. And I have never heard a room full of people gasp at the same time like I did.
Because I think that, you know, like so many things that we've seen over the past few years, we just don't ever imagine that's really going to happen. We think that we'll put up the fight. We think that we'll do the things, or that it isn't really going to go that far. But we are in a situation now where it is going that far. And so did she have any recommendations or thoughts about where we're headed? What might happen next with it? You know, how did she follow up that comment?
Yes. Yes. So it was, you know, a gut punch, right? All of us were like, I don't know if I can swear here.
You
but,
can swear. You're sick.
Okay. And she said, the time to rely on the courts is over. We can't expect the courts to save us anymore. She's like, there are five very conservative votes, and we just have to give up that idea that the courts are going to save us. And so at first, that made me feel discouraged. But as she went on, it made me actually feel excited to see what creative solutions we can come up with going forward. Because it's like when you're stuck in this old mindset of like, oh, this is the way it is and the way it's always going to be, it inhibits creativity, I think. So now we're being forced to be really creative. And the other side has been very creative, on especially on this, which is how we ended up with this 6-week ban in Texas that uses a mechanism of the law that has not been used before, right? Like it is private citizens going out and telling on each other and getting a bounty. So it's a totally different thing than we've seen before. So we need to now do totally different things. And, you know, when it goes away, when abortion protection goes away at the federal level, it's going to be left up to the states, which is not encouraging at the moment for Texas, looking at the makeup of our legislature. But I really think some things that are giving me tremendous hope are, so there were those of us who got activated after the 2016 election, right? But I think the for every one of us who did get activated, we probably have like 10, 20, 30 friends who were upset but didn't take action yet. And I think things are to the point now where those people are going to start taking action too. But we have to be creative about providing the ways for them to do that. And so that's what I'm hoping to do with DemocraSexy.
And I mean, that's so important because we all do have a number of people in our lives that we could encourage to come to the table and be involved in this. And I also think that this is a huge opportunity for us to zoom out. And as you mentioned, like it's scary to think of it being at the state level because that's going to leave it up to our legislature. But we have an opportunity to change that, right? Electing different people to be in our ledge is within our power, you know, and so that's where, you know, we need to zoom out. We need to look at the seats that are most important. We need to not always look at the shiny object top of the ticket seats and focus at some of the things down ballot that are going to have the biggest impact. And this is one of them, you know, and the other thing I think, you know, that you touched on about the other side being really creative, they've also stayed the course. They are focused on two things at the top of every platform that they present, and that is abortion rights and gun rights. And I feel like as Democrats, we tend to be like, we want to save all the things, right? We need to do all the things. And it's just not going to work until we buckle down and say, these are the things we're fighting for. You know, and so I think there's a lot of room. And to your point about creativity is to bring people together creatively to decide what it is we're going to focus on and stay the course with those things, because that's what they've done. And they've done it well. And we probably need to take a page out of their playbook.
I mean, they kept at it for 50 years, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And they've tried every angle. You know, and they've also, another thing they've done really well is they've focused on those down ballot races. They targeted state legislatures. They're targeting our school boards now, which is a whole different conversation for another time. But, you know, they know how to work or to use the system to their advantage. And we tend to, and I don't mean to generalize all Democrats, but as the big tent party, you know, we tend to be more focused on a lot of things at once. And they're all important things. But maybe we really need to look at what is under attack the most and what we're most at risk of losing. And that right now is voting rights and abortion rights, and really focus on those things. And so, you know, do you think we have a chance to reverse course here in Texas?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. You know, one of the things that was really great about being at this conference with some of the brightest folks working on our democracy, I went to a session where there were leaders from, I think, seven different organizations that are focused on democracy. And at the beginning of the session, they had us all stand up and go to one side of the room if we were feeling optimistic about the state of our democracy, and the other side of the room if we were feeling pessimistic about the state of our democracy. And then at the end, we did the same exercise. One thing, there were, I think, seven different organizations that got up and spoke during the session to tell us about what they were doing and how we could support them. The thing that made me feel really awesome is that every single one of those seven leaders from those organizations were on the far, far, far optimism side. And I thought, if these folks who are like at the forefront of trying to figure this out feel optimistic, I feel optimistic too.
And a lot of them have been doing this a long time, right? And so you would think that that would make them feel more disgruntled or more beat up, right? But to see them show up and still feel positive about it, I mean, I think that's a strong message.
And one of them made a really good point. The founder of the Center for Tech and Civic Life, I can't remember her name, but it's an amazing organization. She pointed out that the 2020 election was the highest turnout, most diverse election turnout in history.
Nationwide.
Yes, nationwide.
Amazing.
And, you know, in Texas, we closed the gap between, like, every election cycle, the gap between the Democratic presidential candidate and Republican presidential candidate has narrowed. So we already are changing course, which is why our state legislature has gone to such extreme measures to hang on to the power that they have, because they can see the writing on the wall.
They feel like it's their last opportunity, right? They think it's their last opportunity to get in what they need to. I mean, there is no mistake in, you know, looking at the changing demographics in Texas. You know, Harris County is the most diverse county in the United States. I mean, anybody who's paying attention understands that Texas is not full of just white cowboys, you know, that are worried about the NRA, right? I mean, it is an incredible state, diverse both geographically and culturally, and people are showing up more and more. And I know that's what keeps me in the fight. That's what excites me. I also have this thing where when I don't win, I just get more mad, which is not the healthiest thing. But, you know, and so then I just want to fight harder. But I think there's so many people like that in Texas. And that's where I just want to say to, you know, the national narrative, don't write us off. We're down here and we're fighting really hard, and we are diverse, and we're incredible people. Like, don't give up on us, you know, double down on our efforts.
Totally. Yeah. One of the days at the TED conference, I was wearing my Texan feminist shirt, and you could tell the women who are there from Texas versus folks who are there from other parts of the country, because people from other parts of the country were like, what? Like, it scrambled their brain that a feminist would live in Texas, right? And then all the other feminists from Texas were like, yeah!
High five.
And it's just like, we know, but everybody else is like,
they don't.
Turn this off, you're right.
And you know what really blows their minds is when you tell them that in 2020, Austin brought more votes for Joe Biden than Los Angeles did. Then people really freak out. You know, it's true.
I knew that.
Wow. Yes. Well, there. Now, next time you can share that little tidbit with folks, because that really, like, that, like, they don't want to believe it, you know, and it's certainly true. you know, and so, you know, that touches on a little bit about why you continue to fight. But is there anything, you know, in your personal life or how you're navigating this situation that makes you feel like, I'm just not going to give up? You know, what keeps you here creating new opportunities and, you know, new organizations to help continue this fight and make it exciting?
Yeah, well, I moved to Texas from California in 2008. So lately, my friends in California are like, move back here. What are you doing there? And I'm like, Texas needs me. I'm not giving up. And I really feel like that. I feel like, you know, this, I feel like I found my purpose and this is it. And I'm not going to abandon Texas, because maybe if I did feel that it were hopeless, I would just move back. But I know that it's not. I know that it's only a matter of enough people getting activated. And so I'm going to try every way that I can to activate those folks. Also, it's fun for me. Like, throwing parties with a purpose is fun for me. Making silly internet videos that tell people what's on their ballot and how they should vote is fun for me. And I think people can't help but have fun watching somebody else have fun and want to be part of that, you know?
Absolutely. And it's a sense of camaraderie. I don't know about you, but I've made some of the best friends doing this work. I have found 100%. My people. I have found my community. And like you, I feel like this is what I was supposed to do. You know, I was supposed to move to this state and things were supposed to be crappy. So that we could show up and fight for them. And I keep saying to people, Texas is so close. And there's so many incredible people fighting for this that when we do flip it, the party is going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, it's going to like go on. I mean, can you just imagine, Becky? Like, that's always the thing in my mind. Like, the party we're going to throw when we get this done is going to make the last 6 or 7 years totally worth it. And so I believe we're right there. I really do.
And we can party on the way, too.
And we're partying along the way. We really are. I mean, there's so many fun things to engage in. And thank you for bringing a new opportunity to do that. I appreciate it. And I'm so excited to attend some of your upcoming events and, you know, follow you along this journey, because I think it's going to make a big difference in what you're doing. So thank you so much for joining me today to talk about it. And I once again want to thank Progress Texas for hosting this podcast today. This will be our last podcast until after the new year, but I hope you'll join us again in January when Texas Blue Action launches Out of Fucks Friday. And if you are somebody that has run Out of Fucks in Texas, please email me at info@blueactiondems.com, because we want to have you on to tell your story and what you're going to do about it. So that'll kick off in January. Until then, happy holidays, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And I hope you get out there and get some sunshine on your body, because it sure is a beautiful day outside. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Texas Blue Action Podcast, a production in affiliation with Progress Texas. Texas Blue Action is founded on progressive grassroots action, focused on year-round neighborhood organizing and committed to building sustainable democratic infrastructure in Texas. We turn out the voters that the Texas GOP fears the most. Production by me, Chris Mosier. Theme music generously provided by James McMurtry. Join Texas Blue Action at blueactiondems.com and also on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you again next week.